you've got Newtown, Siesta Key, there are hotel, the mega hotel issue. Yes. Downtown, you've got, obviously, there's a city commission. So, yes. But, you know, that relationship hasn't always been so great. And then you've got folks in the rural area who are really concerned that their way of life is
being threatened.
Yeah.
And seriously threatened.
So speak to any of those.
But we also have Longboat Key.
That's true.
The whole waterfront. Mm-hmm. Barry Islands and all included, plus part of the rural area. But Siesta Key is in a struggle. I was at one of their community meetings a couple of days ago where they are resisting a third hotel application. I applaud them for standing up and representing themselves. But
There's litigation over that.
Yes, the first two hotels are in litigation, and this third hotel is hoping that the first two win their case so that he can just ease on in. Mm. And so that's a struggle and a contradiction in itself. But the people of Sarasota County all the way along the waterfronts is going to need a different kind of representation because Sarasota County has not paid attention to any of the Barry Islands or the waterfront communities. Every time you look up, there's a struggle that of disrespect and not listening. Mm-hmm. In the eastern part of the county, we went through a process where it took almost 2 years to put together a 2050 plan where the people of Sarasota, I mean, with sincere hope and expectation that it would be adhered to, basically within 5 years, they had ripped it one place. And then they decided to rip it another place. And now we're looking up, the 2020 plan is not in vogue. It's like something that...
The 2050, you mean?
2050 plan. The 2020 plan was the original plan.
Then, oh, okay.
Yes. Mm. And so we moved up to the 2050 because 2020 was threatened and imploded. And so now we're sitting here with a process where we are trying to figure out how do we stop the money from dictating what happens in the eastern part of Sarasota County and the southern part of Sarasota County. Mm-hmm. The people down there in District 4 and Northport are in trouble because the county is letting any and everything happen around them, and Northport is trying their best to fight them back. Mm-hmm. But the county has a lot more power than is perceived by cities when they really start dictating what they want to do when they represent the cabals.
Yeah, I want to shift gears a little bit here to a recent proposal of the county commission, because that single member district initiative, which was there's three ways you can change the local constitution, right? Which is the county charter. The county commission, it's always got to be approved by voters.
Yes.
So we'll just start there. However an amendment gets on the ballot, it always has to be run by the voters, and they have to vote thumbs up or down. But the county commission can initiate an amendment. Mm-hmm. Citizens can initiate an amendment through gathering signatures, and which is becoming harder, and we'll talk about that. And then the Charter Review Board, right, which is an elected board. So if you go in that ballot box, you know, you're going to vote, you don't know what the Charter Review Board is. That's the group that can review the charter, amend the charter, make recommendations to the county and to voters. So through the Charter Review Board, there is an amendment that is actually looking to make it harder to once again make it harder for citizens. It's targeting the citizen petition drive. Carrie Seedman, who writes for the Herald Tribune, did an excellent column on this, and you can find it. I'm looking for the date. I believe this was last week. It was June 10th. Her column talks about this amendment, and the Charter Review Board is proposing that additional burdens on the citizen petition drive, that you'd have to get 10% of registered voters in each district rather than all of, you know, it not mattering, which doesn't really make sense because this commission is an at-large voting proponent, but now they're like, oh, it feels like retribution. Oh, okay, yeah. Now you have to get 10% of your signatures from each district. All right, although everyone in the county with a petition drive, it's technicality. Mm-hmm. A required legal review prior to petitioning. So before you go gather signatures, it has to be reviewed by the county attorney. And we're going to talk about that. And then submit a fiscal impact statement. So how would this impact the government? Do you want to kick it off? Which one of those is most disturbing to you? I know the one I really don't like. I don't like any of them, but
all of them are most suppressive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's about disenfranchising the electorate. It's about eliminating the people from the process and making it most difficult as possible. But to have the county attorney.
Yeah, that's my worst. That's the worst one.
Yes, that's absurd. To have the county attorney. Mm-hmm. Who works for them, the county commissioners, have to review the petition and nitpick it all the way to mm-hmm. the end and then approve. It's a tough task.
Well, and with that large voting, it was like, you know, five times that. So it would have been 4,000. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I just want to share a little story with you. When, you know, I've had occasion to yes. deal with the county from time to time in the past. And I had a question and I sent an email mm-hmm. to, at that time it was Steve DeMarsh. He was a county attorney. Yes. And everyone's a nice guy. I would say everyone's a nice guy,
that's right? Wonderful.
But Steve DeMarsh told me, he's like, I don't work for you. I work for the commission. And I thought, you mean I can't ask you a question? He said, no, I work for them, which I came to understand, and I think a lot of people are under the impression that a county attorney will be responsive, and maybe sometimes they are. However, they don't have to be, and it was a wake-up call to me because some counties, I believe there are some counties that elect their attorney,
yes.
and in that respect,
they work
then they would work for you. Yeah. But the way our county government is set up, the county attorney answers just to the commission.
Yes.
So the notion, as you know, you said this is really objectionable, but the notion that the county attorney is going to approve or deny language from the citizens completely turns self-government on public roadways near water. And yet, I don't know how they did it, but the most popular amendments were those in our history. Over 70% approved them, and the county litigated against them successfully, so far anyway. This is going to be discussed at a July 12th public hearing, this new proposal to amending our charter harder. Are you going to be at that meeting?
I most certainly shall.
Okay.
I think it's vitally important that that I be there to not only be there as a representative of the people, but also as a person to kind of help understand their thought process and how they can do that so publicly. Because, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, they aren't going to make any difference or change. Do you remember the process we went through to try to keep them from realigning the districts 2 years ago? You know, we flooded the chambers. People all over the walks of life of Sarasota County mm-hmm. stood up and begged those people not to do this. Don't waste our money. Don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
We went to court. The courts sided with them. The federal courts sided with them, saying, hey, it's all right to discriminate.
You know what was interesting about what was so blatant about that was they redistricted single-member districts passed in 2018. Immediately, they went to redistrict, and the census was happening in 2020, which requires them to take a look again. So they redistricted just prior to the census.
Yes.
And then because they wanted to, you were going to run in District 1.
Yes, I had already filed.
That's right. You had already filed. It was Mike Moran's district, mm-hmm. right? And he was up for re-election. So he would have had to face you.
Yes.
And Mike Moran had some issues, I mean, with the celery fields and his opposition to his own district. And so, boy, they certainly were in a hot hurry to redistrict then.
Yes. They were protecting him. That was the purpose, mm-hmm. with the intent of coming back and repealing it in 2020, too.
And they also gerrymandered Frank DiCicco.
Yes.
Because Frank had run against Mike Moran back in 2016.
Yes.
And he was a good candidate.
Yes.
And they gerrymandered you out and Frank DiCicco.
Yeah. Oh, it was by design. It was, it was nothing happened has about that. They have a way of taking a look at the process and disrespecting the people easily and smile about it because they don't have to respond or adhere to anybody's call but the people that are paying their way.
You know, the thing. Well, single-member districts does make it easier for a grassroots candidate to win.
Yeah.
It has been shocking, and I think to your point, because the money has been so influential with at-large voting, it really makes a difference to stuff mailboxes. And I've done a lot of research on local dark money and how these PACs have come out. And they'll come out against... regardless of party, like Joe McClash in Bradenton, who was an environmentalist, so he wasn't going along with land use changes that the powers that be or those who fund PACs and campaigns wanted. But he was very conservative.
Yes.
And they were saying that he, in these mailers that go out, and this is something for everyone to be aware of, the stuffing of your mailbox toward the last few weeks prior to an election, the candidate who's grassroots, who doesn't have that PAC dark money support, has a much harder time responding.
Yes.
But they were just lying about Joe McClash.
Oh.
This was Bradenton, Manatee County.
Sure.
They said he supported Obama when he was supportive of, I guess it was McCain or Romney, whoever was running at the time. They said he is pro-life, he would call himself, and they were saying he was pro-choice when it came to the abortion, which county commissioners and abortion, it's not an issue that is decided at a county level. But I think that was one of the first really vicious campaigns where you saw just flat out lying. So these folks are willing to go to quite a bit of trouble to protect their turf.
Oh yes.
It's so go ahead.
It's truly about them maintaining their power and control over the developmental process of the counties. And they are the same group. It's what's so amazing is that Sarasota and Manatee County are still married even though we seceded from them 100 years ago. And so we are in a process where we have to resist, and we have to resist with our only power that we have as a citizen, and that is our vote.
Yeah.
And we have to remember to exercise that vote. We've got to remember that, our $10 and $20 and $100 donations is just as valuable when we get $100 or $200 of them to a $1,000 contribution from one developer.
Mm.
And so we encourage the people to participate in this process because that's the only way we win.
Right.
We the people is going to make the difference in this election.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Fred Atkins. He is running for the County Commission, District 2, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5, LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Election day for the school board and primary day is August 23rd. August 23rd. The deadline to register to vote is July 25th, and you can go to sarasotavotes.com or votemanatee.com. voterprecinct.com to do a bunch of things. You can check out your precinct. You can make sure that your voter registration is up to date and that it's accurate. There have been a lot of changes in the law regarding voting. You don't want to be confused. You can also request a mail-in ballot, and those requests need to be made by August 13th. So there's a big election coming up.
Yes.
It's August 23rd. Be sure you're ready and make a plan to vote. Mr. Atkins, let's talk, if you're willing to go there. There's a lot happening these days around the school board elections, but the messaging that's happening. I mean, we just saw an article about, you know, and this candidate claims she's not aware of the affiliation of somebody who's organizing a fundraiser for her, but the Proud Boys, and we're seeing these January 6th committee hearings being very specific about the role of the Proud Boys in, you know, this insurrection, this attempt, yes, to overthrow the election. And there's a Proud Boys group in Sarasota that's actually sponsoring a fundraiser for a school board candidate. As you know, the Proud Boys are associated with white supremacy. What are your thoughts on how things, the state of our politics in Florida, and particularly that group?
Well, when we look at the insurrection and basically the overthrow of the government, not just the election, we look and we find out that the state of Florida had the most arrested persons of any state in the union.
91.
And Sarasota County had a substantial part of that. And our vice president of the Republican Party, who is Ziegler, who decided not to run for re-election in a district that he knew he didn't want to be in, has decided that that group is the group that represents his voice. And for his
Now I have to ask you, why do you say that?
Because he's continually been a representative of the group that's the most conservative in the state of Florida and the United States. And the Proud Boys have supported them and cheered for them all the time. So mm-hmm. they are very much a voice of the conservative Republican Party, and there's no way around it. And they exemplify that by going to Washington, D.C. to try to overthrow the government. And so for his wife,
you're talking about
Ms. Ziegler.
Bridget Ziegler, who is a school board member.
School board member.
It's not her campaign, actually.
No.
Somebody else, but.
It's for him to be raising funds for her campaign, for the representative of the Proud Boys.
Well, I want to make it clear that it's not Mrs. Ziegler's fundraiser. Somebody else. And it's really, you know, I just wanted to keep, you know, talk.
Yes, okay.
But to have any candidate. They are running as a slate. It would be great to see these candidates who are they appear to be courting the support of this group. And certainly one of those candidates is having a fundraiser. It'd be great if they would disavow that support, right?
No, Kathy, let me tell you what I received yesterday in my mail.
Okay, well.
I received a flyer from a printing company that listed all of those ultra-conservative candidates on their flyer to advertise for me to get printing for them. It is very clear to us that they are running as a pack.
Okay.
And that pack has exemplified what they really want to do on January the 6th. Mm. And so for them to disavow any part of that will be basically like cutting their foot off to spite their face. And so they can't really come out and say that we are not together. Because when you look at that flyer that was mailed to my house, when it has all of those ultra-conservative candidates, and Ms. Ziegler is on the top left corner of one, and they are running as a group, the Republican Party and their ancillary groups, including their printers, are all collectively supporting the same gang. And so we cannot excuse any of them away from it. So she's very much a part of the campaign and the fundraising process.
Okay. All right. Have you ever seen it? It seems, you know, the conversation around race, and you're a representative. Mm-hmm. You've been an African American elected
all my life.
Official, right? I was going to say elected official, but yes, you know, we come into the world, we are who we are. If
yes.
God wanted to make us all here the same, he or she sure could have done it. But there's tremendous diversity and variety on the planet and in human beings.